The Lord helps us to make it in His house. We're so grateful. And on behalf of my family, we also continue to thank the church for everything you're doing. Also, we send our condolences to Vicky's family for what they are going through, the loss of Karen's parent. We know it's not easy, but we believe God is there to comfort them. Shall we pray, church? Lord Almighty, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for bringing us here. Lord, we are here for one purpose, to worship you. We need your presence. We need you, Lord, to lead us. For without you, we can do nothing. I'm standing before your people, O Lord God. I continue to surrender again and ask you to use me as a vessel, as a tool that you've chosen today to convey your message to everyone. Bless us, O Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. If we can take our Bible, please, and go to the book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 to 38. The topic that I'm talking about today, it says, when God steps in your life to fulfill his mission, his special plan, when God visits you, when God comes to you, when God wanna use you, when he steps into your life, the big question is, will you let him do it? Will you allow him to use you? So that's the topic that I got when I was praying in this Christmas time. When God steps into your life to fulfill his special plan or mission. And let's read together, please, in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. I'm reading the book, the version which is NKJV, but you can still read NAV. The reason why I like NKJV is one part in this passage which has blessed me a lot. So here is the reading, in the name of Jesus. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Amen. Amen. In the Bible, if you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find that too many times when God visited his people. He visited to call them either through sending the angel or through sending his messengers or ministers or prophets. From Genesis to Revelation, you find that God, when he wanted to do something to visit his people or to minister, he used people. And even now, when God wanna speak to us, talk to us, visit us, minister to us, he always uses people. So it's so good to find out that God is choosing a human being to be a servant or to be a vessel that he wanna use. For me, the story of Mary has blessed me a lot. When God visited Mary, when God visited Mary through the angel to invite her or to talk to her or to inform her about what is about to happen, I call this the greatest day of Mary, the greatest day in the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's true. In our life, we have too many times we can call it the greatest moment of our life or the greatest day of our life. Some, for example, you may remember the greatest day of the great moment of your time is when she or he gave or put that ring on your finger. And then you can't forget that day. You say, oh, after all the time you were pursuing that relationship, finally, he or she has accepted to put that ring on your finger and say, I do. That may be the greatest day of someone's life. Also, for others, the greatest day or the greatest moment of the life is when someone has finished his or her school or has graduated. That's the greatest moment. Maybe it was the time you visited a special place like Hawaii, like Jerusalem, like you went to Caribbean, like you went to Safari, Kenya, you visit the place you've never been, and you might call it the greatest time of your life. For other, maybe it's also the day you were approved to get that loan for paying your mortgage or buying this beautiful place you live in. That's the greatest day of your time. Maybe also it was the day where the doctor gave you a special report from your illness, and he said, you are free, or you are safe, or you are healed. That also is the greatest day or the greatest moment of your life. But for Mary, we find here the greatest day was the day when the angel visited her, when the angel from heaven came and visited Mary. And we read this in the Bible in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. God steps into Mary's life for the special plan, which is the plan for the universe, the plan for all of us. Say amen, hallelujah. And that is the greatest day that Mary encountered with the Lord through the angel. Now, we ask ourselves, what do we learn from this visitation of the angel to Mary? What are the lessons we learn from that? Number one, God's mighty acts always catch us by surprise. God's mighty acts always catch us by surprise. I find too many surprises here. Number one surprise I see, look at Mary. She's just in her teenage. And suddenly the angel come to visit her. She might be maybe in 15 to 20 year old. She's just a teenager. And zap, bam, booyah, the angel comes in. The angel visits her. She did not plan for that. She had no in the agenda that the angel will come. She is just a teenager. And the angel surprises her, comes to her. She's beautiful, of course, but she's young. But she also was a spiritual person. She knew to respect herself. She learned to keep the moral value of her religion. She learned to respect her family by keeping safe and keeping the faith to the Lord and worshiping God. Also, she has had the kind of ordinary plan that any girl in her late teens might have. You know, she was betrothed to a young man by the name of Joseph. I like this part because in that time, you'll remember there was no too much tempting ways where someone can get easily engaged. There was no online dating. There was no Craigslist way. There was no Facebook. There was no Messenger. There was no WhatsApp. There was no Skype. But God still could send someone to Mary, and they were engaged with Joseph. So that shows me that God knows our need. God knows your need. God knows, and he has plan for us. You missed the place to say amen there. Hallelujah. Praise the name of living God. Amen. So this is a surprise. The second surprise I find here is the natural and the supernatural goes side by side. Suddenly, God stepped into her life and did something entirely dramatic. An angel appears to her, not an email. It was not an emo message or a Viber message. It's an angel. Not only an angel, the special angel called Gabriel. Clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh. We could do better than that. Let us clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Yeah, so the angel, one of the greatest of the angel, Gabriel, comes to tell her something from God. You know, in Mary's life, the natural and the supernatural are side by side. She's a perfectly natural young lady. She's not a nun living in the convent. She's a teenager happily in love with a spiritual man named Joseph. And yet, alongside a perfectly natural life comes a visitation from an angel. What a surprise for Mary. And this is the same for us Christian. In the Christian life, the natural and the supernatural run together side by side. We are ordinary people in many ways. We have perfectly natural desires and inclinations. Yet, alongside the natural, there is the supernatural. God is in our life and he might do something special at any moment. Say amen. God can do something special in your life at any unexpected time. Well, if I was speaking this message to Uganda or to Africa, young people could just stand up and clap for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So that was surprising. That was surprising. The supernatural coming to the natural. You know, it was not only a surprise in the life of Mary, but it also a surprise in the history of the world. God is about to send his son. He chooses a despised country, Israel. He chooses a despised area of that country, Galilee. He chooses an important village with that area, Nazareth. He chooses not a famous rich man or a mighty politician, but an obscure teenager girl. However, let the teenager girl is engaged to someone in the house of David, whose ancestors were king of Israel. What a surprise. What a surprise. When God steps in your life, into your life, to fulfill his mission, it comes to us as a surprise. One thing comes to my mind. When God wants to use us, sometimes we kind of ponder and take a lot of time thinking. You'll see, for example, in the time of in the Bible, all these people who were visited by God, they were just amazing. Same thing as for Mary. But one thing in my question is here. What do you think? What kind of person qualifies to be chosen by God? Well, the reason sometimes we think for me to be serving God, I got to be a very special person. I got to be a very well-prepared person. Let's go quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. When God want to choose you, what can we find? What are the things God chooses? What do we find in God's toolbox? 1 Corinthians chapter 26 to 29. I read it so quickly for you. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standard. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things at the things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Say amen for that. Hallelujah. So what do we find? What do we find in God's toolbox? We find the non-wise people, not influential people, not noble people, the despised things, the weak things, the lowly things. That's what God choose. Church, when God want to use you, he doesn't consider what people consider about your life, but he consider what you're gonna achieve when he chooses you. Hallelujah. That's a surprise. Another surprise is the miraculous birth. God used a surprising country, surprising area, surprising town, surprising girl, and he used a surprising method, which is a miracle birth. You know, I just pray much for many people who do not want to accept easily that Jesus is the Son of God. We got so serious discussion sometime in Uganda with our relatives or friends or of another religion. I don't want to say which religion is that, who had a hard time to consider that Jesus is the Son of God. And you know what they said? They say, if God is God, then he can't give birth. Then I told him, if God is God, then there is nothing he cannot do. Any way he want to bring, any method he want to use for his glory, if he's God, then he can do it. Say amen. Hallelujah. So, the birth of Jesus was miraculous birth. That's why I say here, God's mighty acts open up great privilege. That's the point number two. God's mighty acts open up great privilege. The angel greet Mary. Greetings. You are highly favored. Person, the Lord is with you. Mary's amazed. What sort of greeting is this? She's afraid at the presence of the angel. Why? Because she has sins and weaknesses in her life as much as anyone else. And human being is afraid when God draws near you. Because we are human being and we are guilty and our conscience is guilt of sin. When we have been forgiven, the memory of how weak and sinful we have been can at any moment come back to us, especially when we are talking to an angel, but the angel encouraged her, don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. The angel said, don't be afraid, Mary, because you are chosen, you are favored, you are highly favored, and God is with you. Why? She will be supernatural, give birth to God's son. No sexual relationship with any man will be involved. God is doing something new in the story of the world. He has already started the process at Elizabeth. She is expecting the son in the old age. That's, again, a surprise. And that's how God works. When God might act open to us, it also brings a privilege. You know, Jesus is the second Adam. He's about to be supernatural from born. A man is going to come into the world who is genuinely human, but who has no earthly father. He will be a second Adam, a second person in the story of the human race who has no father but God, like Adam. Jesus will be a person who comes into this world without sin. With him, God will start the human race again. God, when he steps in someone's life to fulfill his mission, he can do everything possible in order to fulfill his plans. Point number three, God might act also come with suffering. We may not like this. And that's the reason why throughout the world, many of us have procrastinated, have put in
we have just stopped to give our life to Jesus because of the fear of suffering. You know, Jesus said, if someone want to follow me, three things. He should deny himself, take his cross, and follow me. So when God stepped to your life, into your life, to fulfill his mission, you can also expect suffering. God might act, also come with suffering. It might seem a great privilege to Mary to give birth to Jesus, and yet what suffering was she going to evolve in? Number one, who would believe her when she said that she is pregnant? That's a suffering. Who would understand Mary when she said that I'm pregnant, and that is the angel came and visited me and told me that I'll be pregnant and I will give birth to Jesus? It will be quite impossible for her to explain that. Can you imagine how much in the village of Nazareth the gossiping taking place against Mary? How much there will be gossiping from the family of Joseph? Can you see that? That's how much suffering can come when you say yes to the call. But the good news is, you are not alone. God is with you. Say amen. Hallelujah. So, God's mighty act also come with suffering. It will take a long time for people to understand and to believe Mary. It will not be easy. And what kind of suffering she will go through again? Nine months of pregnancy, having a baby in her womb, without a father. But God. Not only that, Joseph is in great fear and awe. Could not even say or do anything. Could not even joke. I'm so happy when I see around here, when I go at the mall, we walk with my wife, so we see the couple. When a lady is pregnant, you see the couple is so close to his wife. They can joke, they can play. That could not be a match with Joseph, because he was also afraid. He was so fearful. There was a risk of breakup. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 28, the Bible says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Can you hear that? Another suffering. A serious suffering. You just got engaged. You got your future husband. And now, because of what you're going through, he is deciding to let you go quietly, secretly. But God is always on your side when he has chosen you. Hallelujah. He will fight for you. He will help you. The Bible says here, and when Joseph was thinking this, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as you were, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Say amen. Hallelujah. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name of Jesus. So all that suffering, the risk of being rejected, the risk of being the breaking up. So all that's the sufferings which come when you are accepted or called by God. Not only that, we find again at the day of birth, there was no place for Mary and Joseph in the inn in Bethlehem. That's another suffering. If we see again when Jesus was already born, there was a temptation to be killed. So they had to flee from Bethlehem to Egypt because of Herod, who was after killing the baby. So too much suffering that you can accept also when the Lord steps in your life and wants you to serve him. So God's servants invariably have tough times. They have to abandon all hopes of being understood by anyone. So you want to serve God, but you want to get understood by everyone. You're going to have problem, my brother. You're going to have problem, my sister. I remember what Jesus said, if someone want to follow me and if he doesn't hate his parent or his people, he is not worth of being my servant. I remember when the Lord called me in 1993. I suffered too much abandon. Too many people abandoned me. Too many closest people that I was really close to them, they abandoned me. They say, this man is foolish. He's out of mind. Suffering comes along when you are called by God. But we should not be afraid of that because God is always with us. Say amen. Hallelujah. So, number four, God might act are perfected when we accept and surrender because nothing is impossible with God. Now, that's the beauty of it. When we accept the call, when we say yes to God, now this call will be perfected. His mighty act will be perfected because with him, nothing is impossible. Mary replied, "Look at me, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have said." She accept God's call to her life. She's willing to let God do to her and through her whatever he wants. My brother, my sister, when God steps into your life to fulfill his mission, to fulfill his plan, yes, it may be tough, but remember, if you surrender your life and accept and allow him to walk through you, it's possible. It's possible because nothing is impossible with God. When Mary was pondering and thinking about this call, the angel told him, "Hey, Mary, it's not about you. It's the Holy Spirit that will do that. And you are just a vessel. And it is because nothing is impossible with God." Hey, is it amazing when we think about the ministry, when we think about the work of God, when we think about serving God, we find it impossible. We find it cannot happen. Well, let me tell you, it is not impossible because nothing is impossible with our God. Say amen. Hallelujah. So although Mary did not know all that would unfold over the years, she did not know what impact her son would have on her life and the lives of the people. She did know that saying yes to God will mean two things, giving up and taking up. Mary is willing to let go of her comfort, her security, identity, her reputation, her marriage, and she doesn't blink. I am the servant of the Lord. Whatever he would have me to do, let it be done. And that is what happened when we say yes to the Lord Jesus. That's what happened when we surrender our life to our Lord Jesus. We lose our life. We lose our plans. We lose the desire to follow our own path. But why would we give all that up? Because of what we will take up. Say amen. Hallelujah. We give up our false life, but we take up a true life in Jesus. Hallelujah. We give up our imperfect and selfish plan, and we take up his perfect plans to our life. Amen. We give up our shattered dreams, and we take up his dreams to us. Saying yes in life generally opens door to new and exciting opportunities. Saying yes to God opens up a new and exciting life. Not the life you were expecting, but the good life that you were created to live. Hallelujah. The good life that you were made for. Living in step with the Holy Spirit and living not in the darkness, but in the light that comes at Christmas. Yes or no? This, my brother, is your call. Are you going to say yes? Are you going to say no to the call of God? It is on your side. So whether the greatest moment in your life be in your advanced years, as it was in Zechariah and Elizabeth, or in your young age like Mary, I pray today, my brother, my sister, that may God help you understand God's visitation in your life, and may you accept his will in your life. The day God calls us, the day we let God do whatever he wants, it will turn out to be the greatest day of our lives. And I wish you accept that. I wish you give your life to him and accept him to use you. And may today be that day, as the Bible says, in the time of favor, I had you in the day of salvation, helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God. Favor, now is the day of salvation. My Bible tells me today, Jesus is on the door knocking, and whoever opened the door, he'll enter and have time, good time with him. Brothers and sisters, when God steps in our life, he comes in our life to fulfill his mission. And can you imagine how great it will be when you surrender your life and let him use you for his glory? People will come back to Jesus through your ministry. People will know Jesus through you. God will touch, will reach out, will touch people through you. I'm so excited when I see young people deciding, as Mary did, as Joseph did. They are deciding to go after they finish their studies, high school. They decide to go to the theology, to embrace the theology, to study more, to equip themselves, to get more training so that they can be useful in the kingdom of God. And not only for the youth, everyone is here. It doesn't matter the age. God is looking for us. He's calling us. He wants to use us. But remember, the first and the best step is to giving him your heart. God bless you. Father, we thank you. As you did to Mary, when you visited Mary through the angel, today you are visiting us. And as we are celebrating this Christmas time, the greatest thing, the greatest moment is when we open our heart to you and allow you to do your will in our life. I believe, O Lord God, this message has a purpose. You've sent it to us so that we can be revived. You've sent this message to us so that we can accept to surrender and give all to you, so that you can use us, oh Father. I thank you, Jesus, that you accepted everything. You say, I will go. And when you came, you accepted every suffering, even the suffering of the cross, so that we, the world, would know and accept the salvation. So today, Lord, if there is someone here who want to surrender his life to you, who want to give his life to you, Lord, I pray that you help him or her to know that it is possible. It is possible. And nothing is impossible to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would use us in this generation, in this century, in this time, as we celebrate Christmas. Let it be a time of revival in our life. Revive for the ministry. Revive for serving you. Bless your church. Bless every one of us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.